All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
I want to bring to our attention achievement publication that has been produced and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it will serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatul Tanzil, the language of translation, and it is by a brother who I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Yahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Yahad, will you please stand and face the audience so they have This is Brother Sadiq Jihad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in the separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system. Our school system, Claire Muhammad School System, Claire Muhammad Schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding, and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen. And grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jihad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jihad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEQ jihad.com, or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, R-E-D-F-O-R-D, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's SIDDEQ at MSN.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the program.
Classical Arabic, the Language of Revelation, with Imam Sadiq Jihad and Imam William Bilal. We'd like to commence the program with the Al-Fatiha, that is the opening chapter of the Quran, which is also entitled The Victory. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. We'd like to begin this evening session with a few more verses from the glorious Quran. And notice I said glorious Quran, but there's nowhere in the Quran where the Quran refers to itself as Quran in Qudusun. Qudus is holy, so the Quran is not referred to in the text itself as the Holy Quran, but it is mentioned by other names, Quran Karim and also Quran in Majid, and I'm translating Majid as glorious. So these verses that I'm going to recite are very short and beautiful. Well, Allah says, this is a portion of a verse, not a complete verse. وَكَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And that is, and the words of Allah are exalted.
Blog Talk Radio.
And we're back. I think we're on now. And if you're in the studio, push 1 so that I can bring you in just to make sure we're on, because I'm not sure if we were able to fix our technical difficulty or not. And I want to make sure we can continue broadcasting what we have. If you can hear my voice, please push 1 in the studio to let us know that we are on air and you are with us. Oh, beautiful. All right. And who do we have here? You can hear me. Okay, beautiful. All right, so inshallah, Brother Mark will rejoin us. We had that technical difficulty, and hopefully we won't continue to have that. But we are looking at the book, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet to Make Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect, by Akila Nafisa Rashid. And you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I am your host, co-host, Quran Shakir, and we are all, our other host is Mark Shahid. And we are this week talking about Chapter 3 of the book, looking at the idea of unenlightened traditions and the threat to mutual respect in relationships. And this idea of the threat to mutual respect, because the R in the sister's book, The Ripple Effect, that R is for respect. We've talked about that marriages need respect for God, and then we need to have respect for marriage. And now we're looking at the idea that marriage itself has this need to have the mutual respect that can be threatened by unenlightened traditions. And we continue this concept. If you have a comment or a question about what we just shared, we invite you to join us in the studio at 714-816-4673. And we welcome your comments or your questions or interest in what we just talked about, how unenlightened traditions can actually impede and be a threat to mutual respect in a relationship. If you have a comment or a question about that idea, join in. And we are going to welcome 617-851, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
617-851.
Hi,
I'm
Kendra Evans, and I'm from Pennsylvania.
Okay. All right, so we're going to go ahead and ask Brother Mark to respond. So, Brother Mark,
yes.
I am going
yes.
to go ahead and bring you in as a part
okay.
of our conversation. We just had a conversation with our audience, just reminding them that we are on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab right here on IWDM, and we're looking at the book Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet, to make waves
yes.
in your marriage with ripple effect. And I invited our listening audience, if they wanted to push one, to make comments about what we've talked about,
yes.
this idea of unenlightened traditions being a threat to mutual respect. So I'm going to turn the mic
yes.
over to you. Welcome back.
Yes, and thank you. And we want to always apologize to our radio listening audience for that little glitch, and want to always thank you for sticking and staying and not straying away, of course. And praise be to Allah, we was able to rectify that. Just as I was saying before we, got interrupted with the glitch there, very, very important. That we always want to reference the Quran in terms of the treatment that we show. And one of the other things, as we read it during the month of Ramadan, that there were some in the Quran, that didn't want to give up the traditions, following their father's tradition. after truth comes, truth becomes the light, or enlightenment. This is very important, enlightenment. The author, Sister Akila Nafisa Rashid, said unenlightened traditions. We don't want to do things that are stupid. As a wordologist, sticking to unsuccessful practices and decisions. We don't want to do that. We want enlightenment. The human being grows, he has to grow with knowledge. He has to grow with insight and wisdom. And so the Prophet Muhammad, being the example of that, being the model example, because, during the time of the Prophet, as you well know, Quran is called the time of Jahiliyyah, of ignorance. And the woman was, the denigration of women, not seeing even women as equals, not valuing and respecting women. So this even existed in terms of many of the marriages, seeing women as property, seeing women subjected to men, and all. This is not an Islamic perspective. And most certainly, the treatment of the wives, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in one of the Sahih Hadiths, the best of you is the one that treats their wife the best and best treatment in that regard. So if in fact that we hold on to unenlightened traditions, and after the Quran comes, and we don't let, when we was in darkness and when light comes and enlightens us, along with the Prophet Muhammad, very, very important, because he demonstrates the Quran in terms of how he lived the Quran. This is what his wife, Aisha, Rahim Allah Anna, said that was his life. See, this is what he lived. This is what always was in motion in his life, was the Quran. This is how he moved. He moved with the Quran. It was Allah's guidance to him, and then he ultimately demonstrates it. So he demonstrates it, in the marriage life by being a true helpmate, And this, everything that the prophet did that could be recorded, it was recorded. So then this becomes guidance for us in terms of how it is that we are the relate, you know, whereas that the tradition that was unenlightened, no, this is what you're supposed to do. And even though it was far more work for the women than it was for men, basically. And so when you in the dark on things and not having the enlightenment in terms of what a true relationship is and what a real helpmate is, then these things persist. And as you say, it can be very detrimental to the relationship, bringing about more divisiveness in the relationship instead of the unity and the bonding, as we say, build on natural development in nurturing growth. And so what naturally would develop in terms of helping your helpmate and being a good helpmate would be more love in that relationship. And those, you understand, that really know, I know that, and I'm going to say I speak for all women, but they find that to be very attractive, the man that don't mind putting on the apron and get in the kitchen and helping and assisting. Mm-hmm. It makes better for even more intimacy in your relationship. Yeah, I have to say these things are grand. This is the courtship and marriage learning lab. So what is good can be better in your relationship. You
Absolutely.
Know, so.
Also, when we look at marriage itself and what mm-hmm. the sister is saying here in this chapter 3 when she talks about, and I'm giving it this label of baggage, the baggage that we bring into the relationship, which is inherited from previous relationships. I really think it's important for us to really, really talk about this because it's not only men sometimes who promote this idea of the woman being inferior. Sometimes women do this too as we're passing this on, saying this is your job to do this and he shouldn't be doing this for you. But it's for the family. It's for the relationship. And if we understand that, then we're looking for a stronger relationship and working to build stronger relationships. So I strongly encourage our listening audience and those in this learning lab to really examine what your understanding of things you have inherited in relation to what should be in a relationship. What is it that's rooted in your thoughts that could possibly be a threat the mutual respect in the marriage itself? And that's what this chapter is all about, unenlightened traditions, she says. But I want to also share this statement she made. She says, as Muslims, male and female, we're obligated to challenge the thoughts, ideas, and practices that leave women, wives, and mothers, and children feeling inferior to and subordinate to their male counterparts. He says, specifically within marriage, we should question whether or not our thoughts, actions, and expectations promote the mutual respect between husband and wife that God has ordained. And I think that's important. We need to look at, am I promoting mutual respect? And some people may quickly say, yes, I am. But when you really examine it, then you have to have an ear to truly be able to understand if you are or if you aren't. And I think that's important. So I'm happy to hear that from you, you know, the points you're making.
Yes. And, you know, we can go back to the Quran once again. And as you well know, and those who are listening, how many times have we actually read the Quran? And hopefully you just not only read the Quran during the month of Ramadan and then you put it back up and a lot of dust is on it before you pull it down the next year and read it again. We should be reading the Quran, something from the Quran every day. We should be feeding on the Quran every day, but it's no more than just the ayat. And then, you know, here the courtship and marriage learning lab, there are ayats in the Quran that really can be very, very helpful and beneficial to us if we would get a concordance. And they have them in English. They have them in English and Arabic. They have them in Arabic, wherever you are in regards to that. And every place where marriage is mentioned in the Quran, to go and study those ayats, because these are instructing signs, that's giving us instructions, giving us a message in what it is that we should be looking for. And when you talk about, you know, in terms of having the right concept and the right precept, Allah tells us in Ayat 4, Surah 4, Ayat 1 of the Quran, O you who nasu taqwa rabbakakum kalakakum min nafsin wahida wa kalakakum min hazawjaha. This kalakakum min nafsin wahida, Allah is saying, O you human being, O you humanity, O you people, Imam Muhammad said also it means, O you social being, you know, be consciously regardful, of your Lord, your nourisher, guardian, evolver, who has created you. And this is speaking to both the male and the female. This is, we're talking about all people that has created, Allah has created, our nourisher, our sustainer, guardian, evolver. That's the Rab. You understand? Cool. Be consciously regardful of the one that nourishes and sustains, guards and protect and evolve the life. He is the one that has created you, meaning all of humanity, from one single soul. One single soul. Meaning that this soul, or Imam Muhammad said, one single essence. You know, this is abstract, but it's a very important point, because when we look at scripture before, it gives the wrong ideas, the wrong concept, misconception, brings about misperception, if you will, in terms of the woman being an afterthought. Okay, so when we look at, you understand, whereas that if you're feeding on that, and then you ultimately come to the conclusion, oh, she's not equal, she's inferior, and then when you go further on, you understand, in looking at some biblical scripture on a kindergarten or a first grade level, she is charged with the responsibility of the fall of man or the human being. You see? So this is nonsense. This never did happen and all. But you won't find that in the Quran. But what you will find in the Quran that helps to eradicate all the isms that divide us, that, you know, like racism, you might say elitism, classism, genderism, sexism. This ayat eradicates that, because it Allah is clearly telling us, you know, that He has created us all from one single essence. So there is no superiority. Man cannot claim a superiority over women. Allah gives in the Quran, in the same surah, in terms of what He has charged the man in terms of responsibility. But, you know, Quran, when we look at, just look at in terms of our own life, we would never ask our children to do something or perform something without giving them the provisions. So Allah says, I have given one something more so But this is not to be seen as a superiority that they may be able to perform their role. If when Allah says Ar-Rajul Kalamuna and Nisa, that the conscious man, being the legs or the support of as protectors and also maintainer of women. Now, this has even more of a greater significance than just talking about just the female woman, but also what that's symbolic of in terms of family, community, ummah, and all this becomes a role and responsibility. So Allah has equipped the man to be stronger in that regard, to have to endure more because of the role and responsibility, but he's given him the provisions. And because he has, at that time, and I know people can say, well, you know, Marshaheed, that has actually changed. But as a believer, what it is that Allah has given to us in terms of our role and responsibility, that has to and need to be respected. And so men stand to strive to live up to that role and responsibility. You know, I always, when I was very young and all, I watched men in my family, and many of them took great pride. It was great pride in taking care of their family, in being the breadwinner, if you will, in terms of their family. They weren't counting to say, well, I don't know who it was. It might have been Teddy Pendergrass that came out with a song a few years back, a 50-50 love. So, you know, we don't see it like that. Well, you know, we want to see it from an Islamic perspective, how it is that Allah is telling us, that, you know, that there is no superiority. If we read reading the Quran correctly, it eradicates all those isms. Not only racism, but elitism, classism, you know, these are things that divide us, genderism, sexism, these are things that divide us. And so we have to see it just exactly like that. And so the mate, as Allah is telling us, is that when we get consciously regardful human being, God-conscious regardful human beings that understand what Allah's revelation is to them, and they mate, they relate. See, a mate has to relate. So the mate has to relate to the revelation that's given to them. And when that happens, then they can produce countless men and women. It didn't say babies. See, I'm aware of what Scripture says in terms of Genesis.
Men and women, yes.
Men and women. You see, men and women. It didn't say babies. It didn't say children. So we have to ask ourselves, oh, well, that means that, oh, they have grown up. They have evolved. But you're only going to evolve through Allah's revelation, which is guidance to us. And if we understand that, then it's easy. It's not difficult to understand that. But we can't continue with the unenlightened tradition. Oh, I don't care, revelation come, I'm still going to see it like that, blah, blah, blah. And so these ideas are lies, you understand, wrong thinking. And this is a little gold nugget, if you can use it as a wordologist, the word wrong, W-R-O-N-G, a weak reality, obtaining nothing good, a weak reality. This is what the shaitan produces in our thinking, but it's a weak reality, obtaining nothing good. And matter of fact, you understand, that brings about a division. Allah is about the unity of humanity. You know, it also should be said, you know, Quran, we've said that this sacred institution of marriage is Allah's marriage. So he wants the unity. He wants the unity, and he wants the camaraderie between the man and the woman. He wants the family life that is to come forth from that. He wants the community life, and he wants the sacred institution, this sacred institution of marriage, to be a model as we have mm-hmm. children, and they're looking and they're watching, you know, and to have the urge to say, I want that type of life too. But they need, as we say, we've used in the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, but also here in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, it's the simple word idea. You know, how we teach, but also how we learn and how our children learn. They learn through instructions, but they learn through demonstration. That's the D in idea, but experiences. And so what it is that they see that we experience, it'd be like, oh, I don't think I want to experience that.
Mm-hmm. And a then lot of our we children have, do that. They show that. I don't want what I saw of my parents. So sometimes
absolutely.
We stay in relationships and it's not healthy. It's unhealthy for us, and we stay in those and we model this idea. But we're talking about here this idea of mutual respect. And that respect begins with that respect for your creator. And then mm-hmm. it goes on to what the creator has said the purpose of marriage is. And so you just talked about that. It's a foundation. Because it's a bedrock is what I like to call it. The bedrock of community life.
Bedrock.
You know, like, this is it. And Allah has already told us that we have the responsibility to build these strong foundations. That's what will keep our homes up. You know, we just had a building that collapsed in our country. And immediately I thought about that ayat where Allah talks about the importance of a strong foundation. Well, marriage mm-hmm. is a foundation for us, for community life.
Absolutely.
And just agreeing with what you said, we need strong marriages to have strong community life, and none of us can be committed to not being married. So we may not be married, but we cannot mm-hmm. say, this is the station I want to stay in. We have to be seeking marriage. Because that's what God has commanded us. And I want to remind our listening audience that you are listening to IWDM, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And if you are online listening, we do invite you to join us in the studio by dialing 714-816-4673. And if you are in the studio, we ask you, go ahead and text or make a post to at least 5 of your friends and tell them to join you on this program, because we're not going to build stronger marriages, get those mates that we're seeking, if we don't have these serious conversations. So invite them to the table for this conversation so that we can have this conversation about the importance of marriage. And your host today is Mark Shaheed and myself, Quran Shakir, and we are using as a text for this program, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, a book that we found very helpful. And that book is called Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet to Make Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. And it is written by Sister Akila Nafisa Rashid. And we're on chapter 3 right now as we look at these unenlightened traditions that threaten mutual respect in our relationships. And Brother Mark was making some great points. And one of the points that you made is that marriage is a sacred institution.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think about an institution, you know, we think about businesses. We think about something that is here to stay. And in order for an institution to thrive and be successful, what do we need? Let's talk about that. So if you are in the studio, we welcome your comments, your questions, and your input too. So you push one on your phone, we will bring you in to make comments, ask questions, and be a part of this discussion that we're having in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on respect and its contribution to our relationships. And
And you know, Karan, also we want to invite those persons that may not feel like they have a question or that they have a comment, you know, because sometimes people feel like, I'm listening to Karan Shakir and Mark Shaheed. I don't have anything to add to that. So we don't want you, we don't want to minimize what it is that Allah put on your heart to say. But also, I want to invite those who may just generally listen, don't have a lot to say. But if, in fact, that what it is being said on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is resonating with you, then we'd like to hear from you also. Because, you know, Karan and myself, we're really serious about this, and we think that this learning lab is vitally needed, not only for the Muslim community, but for all of humanity at large, and many African-American brothers and sisters need this, and the statistics will verify they need this. You know, when we look at, you know, how our families are being destructed, the destruction of our family and how we have to reconstruct. And I know that's the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, but there's learning labs because they're related. This is very, very important. You know, when you were speaking Quran, I was reminded of a Sahih hadith, and Sahih being that a very solid saying of Prophet Muhammad, may the prayers and peace be upon him. He said that marriage is my sunnah. Yes. Marriage is my sunnah. Mm-hmm. Marriage is my way. Yes, and those who don't desire to marry or marry, you know, it's like Quran said, you may not be in that state as of right now, but you should have the desire. And now let's go to the Quran again. You know, Quran, Allah says that it's the shaitan that creates false desire. So if, in fact, we say, oh, no, I'm one and done. Or I don't. Some people say I won't. Oh no, I ain't never get married or whatever. You know, and you use the word. Oh, it failed. So this is another little gold nugget, you know, for you. The first attempt in learning. First attempt in learning is. You don't fail. If it's a fourth attempt, you ain't fail. If it's a fifth attempt, you fail when it's your final attempt in learning. You don't have to go to the army to be all you can be. All you have to do is get married. So, you know, this is Allah's marriage, which helps to grow, to develop, and to evolve us in terms of being the type of human being that Allah wants us to be. Allah tells us in the Quran, in 36:36 of the Quran, that he has created everything coming up, growing from the earth in pairs. And he has created the human being, the male and the female in pairs. And then those things that we don't see in pairs, you see. So what is Allah saying to us? He's saying that I want you to have a relationship where there's an interdependence, and you become a catalyst for your mate to evolve to all it is that they can be, and vice versa. Because this is very, very important. See, because when we look at what is the purpose, we have to... I mean, the value of anything, the respect that we have for anything is contingent upon the purpose. And that word purpose is when you, it's a personal understanding, recognizing, it's personal understanding, recognizing what a successful existence is. And so if, in fact, we don't understand, have that personal understanding of recognizing what successful existence is in terms of the sacred institution of marriage, then we won't value it. We won't respect it. We would just think, well, that's just optional. You know, maybe I will and maybe I won't. But if we say that we're a believer, you know, we're a believer, and that we bear witness that there's no God but one, Allah alone, and we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the prophets, but he's also Allah's servant and messenger. So that means that he is God's messenger, and he is bringing the message. And to obey his messenger is to obey Allah, because he is a flesh and blood human being just like us. So he's saying that this is his way, and he's only reflecting the way that God wants us to live. This is very, very important. So, you know, this is a mercy. You know, not only did he get the word of revelation, but to get the demonstration of the word of revelation. And so he's saying that marriage is his sunnah. And those who don't desire to marry, they are not of my sunnah. This is, you know, this is very, very important. It's very important for us to ask why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why should I be married? And then it's very important for us to be able to answer, you know, that definitively in an intelligent way and manner in terms of this. So because when we understand that Allah is our Rabb, and Imam Muhammad has said that Rabb means he is our nourisher, he is our sustainer, he's our guardian protector, he's our evolver. And so the sacred institution of marriage is one of the means in terms of how God actually sustains us and how, you understand, that he protects us. You know,
absolutely.
A lot is said,
yes.
We are cover. We are cover. We are protection.
Vomit. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we have to.
I don't
want to
cut you off, Mark, but we have a listener who switched one on their phone.
Oh, okay.
And they've been
I don't want them to hold on any longer. Let's see what they got on their mind, Karan.
Well, we're going to come back to what you were saying. So, yes, let us welcome 770-981. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Jamila Sheck here, and I just really wanted to comment and thank you all for doing such an important topic, like covering it, because I feel like one of the things that's missing, particularly in Muslim marriages, is proper preparation. You know, we cling to the idea of, okay, marriage is half of our deen. And so what happens from my observation is that a lot of people will get married, but then they'll get divorced. And, you know, and then we're left with broken homes and children who are suffering. And, you know, I don't think that was the idea when Allah said that marriage is half a deen. So thank you for doing this, covering this topic. And my question is, what are some practical things that people should be doing right now? Like, say, for example, if they would like to set intentions to get married within the next year, what are maybe three things that they should do now that they should not skip over?
Yes. Great question. Yes, ma'am. That's a great question. So, Grant, I'm going to let you go first, and then I will also respond. Grant, what are some of the things? That's a great question, you know, because while you're single, should you be just sitting at home twiddling your thumbs and expecting a special delivery from FedEx in terms of your spouse or what?
Absolutely not. We don't. We're not those people. So when Allah tells us to patiently persevere, that idea of perseverance means there is some work that's happening as we are being patient in the process. And so she puts us on the spot with this idea of top three things that should happen. And so off the dome, I will go to what we talked about last week. And we're talking about this a little today, but last week, the last program, we talked about going back and really looking at who you are and the experiences that have shaped you. So practically every person should really look at who they are and ask the questions, what are my values? And I often say to people, then you create, this is a part of this examining who you are. As you look at who you are, then look at who you need to complement you, meaning complete you, to fulfill you. What do you need? And, you know, some people say, I need a 6 foot and I need to be built this way, but not physically.
Right.
Because it's not really the physical that is going to fulfill you. And so that fulfillment is really based on the experiences that you have had. And you have to look at, if you are a person who grew up in a household where budgeting was important and managing your funds was important, or where education was important and reading was important, where you spent regular time with family, and you are in a family where love and touching and expressing yourself is important, then you may want to make sure you have someone who has those same kinds of experiences and values. And even if they don't have the experience, they have that value, because they're going to understand the importance of that and will support that. They're going to support you in reading and learning and advancing yourself intellectually. They're going to support you in maintaining a budget, and they're not going to live outside of that budget and make you be full of stress because you have to struggle with it. So that's first thing to do, is to know who you are and who you need to complete you. The second thing I would say that you need is to also go ahead and create a list of the kinds of things that you would want in your own life as a married person. And that's what you would put in your contract. So you can maintain that in your contract. I want to only be married as a Muslim, or I'm okay with not being married as a Muslim. It's your decision, and I want to make sure that my children, any children that are born of this relationship, only go to Muhammad schools. I like to put that in there, and because that's important to note. So you need to make a list of the things that you need, and then you need to make sure your affairs are in order to be aligned with that. So you need to be honest about what you've done and what you have established with your affairs. So if you are a male and you're Muslim, you know you need to step to the plate with a dowry. So what are you doing to build that dowry and have it available? And, you know, while it's permissible, we can't all keep coming saying, since I got this surah that I just learned is really great, come on, I want to teach it to you. And that's it, kalas. Because that's not being realistic in establishing a strong family life. So step to the plate and say, sister, I come to you with $100,000. That's yours and yours alone. Or, you know, I have a house that I've built for you and you alone to do with it as you please, and I'm going to provide you with another house. But what is it that you're bringing financially? And as a sister, be realistic. Don't say, I need somebody who has $1 million, when you know that you're slimming yourself down with what you're going to be able to select, and then you find somebody who makes $20,000 and says he's not for me, but you have not even looked at him. So be realistic about expectations for what you are looking for in that marriage, and then go ahead and set yourself up to be ready to receive it. If you do get somebody with $1 million, are you ready to manage his affairs for him? You know? So, you know, that takes something with that, bringing that to the table. And even, I need somebody who can lead me in salat, and you don't even know if he's saying it right or not if you're so big on that. So you need to align yourself so that you're studying the deen and you know Quran for yourself, sisters, and then brothers, know it so that you can lead the prayer and be a part of this spiritual development. if that's
yes.
what you're looking for, but you need to know that that's what you're looking for and that you need and what you want in your relationship. And then things that we need to do, it went away. The third thing went away. It'll come back, Mark. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. Yeah. No, you're making some very good points. And, one of the things on the Course Shepherd Marriage Learning Lab, as you know, is getting ready to go into his sixth year. In October it'll be the sixth year. And when we talk about the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, one of the first things that we brought, 25 do's and don'ts. Number one thing is the Iskahar prayer. The Iskahar prayer that before we make any major decisions, we should always want to summons Allah's guidance in decision-making. Very, very important. The Iskahar prayer actually states, you understand, you know and I know not.
Mm-hmm.
You're the best knower. And when we're seeking God's guidance, whatever it is for me, you understand, whatever is not for me, I don't want that. Whatever is for me, I want what it is that you know what it is, my needs. And the reason I say that, because we had a, Quran a few years ago, and I think I did a workshop or a seminar in terms of wants versus needs. And sometimes for some of us, I'll say this, in terms of my children, I say now, to put things in perspective, there are certain things that you need to do. And so if you come, and most of the time you like to go to their mother, they seem like they could get to do what they wanted to do a lot easier. But they say if they had to come through daddy, oh boy, daddy's going to ask some questions, okay? So what are you doing in terms of your schoolwork? How you're performing, in class, homework, chores, all of these become criterias, in terms of things that you need to do, so that if you want other privileges to be able to do certain other things, then I'm going to look at the things that you need to do. And who knows us better than our Lord and Creator, Allah? He knows what it is that we really need in our life. This leads me to something else. It was an excellent question that was asked by Sister Shakir. Is removing off of the shelf of self those things that we need to remove. While you are unmarried, Take inventory of yourself. My mother used to have a little store here in the Gateway City, and every year she would take inventory. But it was like a corner store, so she couldn't compete with the big stores and supermarkets. So sometimes the things that she would have on her shelf, and if it was a food item, if you notice, almost all your food items have what they call an expiration date. So if it's not sold by a certain period of time, you have to get rid of it. Or even things that are not food items, if it just stays there, and nobody buys mm-hmm. it, then that means that it shouldn't be constantly on your shelf. So it's not in demand. Your supply is based on your demand. I'm just only using this as an analogy because there's oftentimes, Quran, there are things on the shelf of self that should have been removed a long time ago. And you spoke about baggage. Everybody may have some baggage, but it don't make it more than just carry-on baggage. And those of us who travel, mm-hmm. I think they allow you up to 50 pounds, and anything over 50 pounds, you're going to pay additional money, you see. So you don't want, there's things that need to be unpacked in our life that we should be carrying with us, ourselves, and bringing it into another relationship. So this is some of the things that when we look at that, in terms of unpacking things that that weigh us down and ultimately mm-hmm. will weigh the future relationship down, you see. So this is not fair to bring this into a new relationship. This is why the experiences that we had before is very needed and necessary to assess those experiences. You remember they used to have that old saying, experience is the best teacher. And for a long time, I thought that too. But you understand with this acronym IDEA, I-D-E-A, in terms of how we learn and how we teach, the assessment, and this is one of the things that I think that we come up short. We don't assess our experiences. So that means that you will be one of those persons that will just go through life around and around, same thing mm-hmm. happening over and over again, and you're experiencing the same thing only because you didn't assess it and assess it properly. So we don't want to just go through life. We want to grow through life. So how you grow through life is assessing those experiences, you see, so that you can be a better person, not a bitter person. So, and then you assess yourself, what is your temperament? What is your mental attitude, your disposition? And when it comes to the sacred institution of marriage, this is very important. And you have to be honest with yourself. See, you may, as they say, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And most certainly, you know, you can't and shouldn't try to fool yourself. So the proper assessment of yourself, who you are, where you are, and when we assess ourselves, we have to have some type of barometer, some type of gauge. And in many of the workshops that I do, I had Imam Dr. Nasser on last night on the MGM roundtable. And I remember a couple of years ago he was present, and he was a witness to the fact of what I was saying to those who came to the workshop. There's two selves. There's the self that Almighty God, Allah, created us to be, and then there's the socialized, acculturated self. And sometimes mm-hmm. the socialized, acculturated self is as far from the self that Allah created as the north is from the south. We have to assess ourselves. How far are we from the self that Allah created us to be, you see? And I want to be the best person that I can possibly be. One other point that I want to give an addendum to when it is that we actually are looking for someone. Another staple of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is we have to and we need to strive to be the person that we want to meet. You alluded to that. Mm-hmm. You know, if in fact that we are looking for example, if we're looking for a compassionate person, then we should be compassionate. Now, we're talking about more of the abstract a lot, in this case. We should be compassionate. If we're looking for an intelligent, I'm looking for an intelligent woman. Then ask yourself, how intelligent are you?
Yes.
You say, I'm looking for a loving woman. Well, what kind of lover are you? I'm looking for, a humorous person. You know, got a sense of humor, but you don't have a sense of humor. You see, you're very, very sensitive about everything, you know. So it's important. So when we look back at the Quran, Allah is telling us, I have made mates from among you of like nature, like nature that you may but to dwell together in tranquility. So, you know, you want that. But, you know, we don't look at it like in terms of the physical science, in terms of magnets and opposites attracting and all of this. No, you want the tranquility there. So that means that they have to see and look for the commonality. This is the reality. In other words, the reality means the reality of what is common. Compatibility, you know, how compatible, and we look at compatibility is a way in terms of looking at it as where you can live and work together with very little or no conflict because there's a commonality. This is the reality of what you have in common. And those who have been through relationship, even in the courtship phase, and when you begin to start talking, when you find that right one, it's like you have so much in common, like you've known this person a lot longer than what you've known. Why? Because there's a commonality. There's compatibility. And then in that you're seeing sincerity, honesty, integrity, all of these things are prerequisites, even in the courtship, you understand, to begin to realize tranquility in this relationship. And then Allah says he will put the love and the mercy between your hearts. Why mercy? Because if you're looking at, we don't want to have unrealistic expectations. So there is no Mr. Perfect. There's no Miss Perfect. So if you're looking for Mr. and Mrs. Perfect, stop doing it. Stop doing it. You know, because they don't exist. So when Allah says he'll put the love and mercy, why mercy? Because mercy is a prerequisite, as Quran stated this. One of our learning labs, to be able to forgive. And you're going to have to be able to forgive because we have, in our assessment, some of us have weaknesses and we make errors, we make mistakes, we have shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have mercy in your heart, I mean, and when we say heart, we're speaking about that you're motivated, you understand, that is an intention for you to always show mercy, a motivation that you're always going to extend to your mate mercy and be able to forgive. Now, you can't be the type of person, I'm going to hold this here for at least 1 year.
Hold a grudge for a year.
So how will that work in the sacred institution of marriage? What kind of bond would that create? It wouldn't. It would not, nothing naturally would develop. Remember, we want to build on natural development and nurturing growth even in that relationship. This is very important for us to know. And this is just some keys of wisdom. I could go on and on in terms of these things that we really would need to do if in terms of preparation, because we want to be the best person that we can be, you know. In every experience, we want to come out of that experience better, not bitter. I'm going to say that again. If you've been in a relationship, you want to come out of the relationship, if you have to come out of the relationship, better, not bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Very important, because many come out bitter, not better. And being a bitter person and a hurt person, as we know, hurt people hurt people. So you can't go in there, you understand, I'm going to get you before you get me. Mm-hmm. See, this is the wrong mentality, the wrong disposition, you know, for going in. So the information, correct information, education, when it comes to the sacred institution of marriage is vitally important. You know, and we don't want to be that person just go through life. We're going through life, but we're going through with the same thinking, the same incorrect thinking, the wrong idea, a weak reality obtaining nothing good. And then we wonder, what happened? You know? So we want to be one of those three people, that those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, those wonder what happened. So we want to make it happen, but we're only going to make it happen when we have the knowledge that Almighty God, Allah, wants us to have. And we get that, the framework is in the Quran. The example, in terms of the blueprint and the specifications, is in the Quran and the blueprint for the model of what it is that we want to have in our life is in the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I could say more, but I think I said enough. I'll stop there, Quran.
Yeah, you said a lot. You said a lot. So, Sister Jamila, did we answer your question for you?
Yes, you did. Very much.
Thank you so much. Push one on your phone and continue to listen. And, Mark, we have another of our callers who wants to comment and ask a question.
Go for them and see what they got on their mind, Quran.
Yes, 314-305. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Donna Lamont, and I'm here in St. Louis.
From the ATL, but we get a call from the STL. How about that, Craig?
Absolutely. And I've been listening to the program, and I'm very encouraged by it. But I would like the two of you my question is, what do you think of online dating sites, and what would you think of our community building an online dating site for the protection of our brothers and sisters? And I have been noticing that there have been quite a few marriages of people. We have a sister at our Islamic Center who is married to she's from Texas, and it's beautiful. And there's another sister, she is from Memphis, Tennessee. So it looks great that there are people reaching across the country to find mates. They become that serious. So what would you two think about creating an online dating site for our protection as well as our understanding and information of the selection of mates?
Great question. Thank you so
that
much,
is a
Sister
wonderful
Donna.
Question,
and
yes.
So, Grand, I'm always a ladies first. Your response to that in terms of Sister Donna's question that she asked. So how would you respond to that, Karan?
I am not opposed to online dating sites. I know of couples that have found each other through online dating, and it was an Islamic dating site that they found.
Mm-hmm.
So I know they exist.
Please say that again.
Sure.
That's an operative word.
Yes. So I'm not sure if she's saying, when she says that we create one, I think they're already out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would want to be very careful and look at what is their procedure for how they match people or screen, that's the word, how they screen those who are posting their information. Because, you know, sometimes people present the best picture. And you want honesty in that presentation. And so I'm not opposed to it. I just think that we have to be very careful as we move through that process. And maybe that's something we may need to look at also is techniques for being successful in using online dating.
Yes, yes. You know, I concur with you. And, you know, even the language itself, we've made the distinction here on the courtship and marriage learning lab. You notice that we didn't name it the dating and marriage learning lab.
Right.
You know, so we want to, as Muslims, always be very, very conscious of our words. Our beloved leader said that words make people, and I haven't probably said it here on IWDM radio, like I did on AM 360 for years. I always made the distinction between dating and courting. And there is a real distinction. Dating doesn't necessarily have to have an objective, you know, depending on the mindset of those persons. You understand that date and there is oftentimes don't have a intention or motivation, and a person can really be dating more than one person at a time. And oftentimes in Western society, it's just to impress. Courting is to express. And courting, you know, Islamic courting is very important to know that that the niyyah, the intention for marriage, not just a plaything, but there's an obvious intention, and it needs to be stated up front. Unlike dating, you know, you've heard of people dating for years. One platform I used to be invited on, Muslim Women in Action, and it was actually a brother that came on that said that he and this particular sister had been dating for about 4 years. You know, now we know that it'll take 4 years to come to a conclusion as to whether or not in that process that you're compatible to and for each other. But see, that's what dating is, if we have a misconception. So I want to clear that up first. So for us, it is about courting. And you know, the our people of yesterday, they used to say, oh, see, you're courting. They used to say courting. And it doesn't have to do anything with spending a lot of money or whatever to impress, but you want to express who it is that you are. And you want to, in the courtship, to make the invisible visible to you. And so that time has to be well spent, you know, in terms of the importance of, even if you need to have a wali in regards to that, to help in that process of actually courting, because the objective is that you're looking in the courtship to see if, in fact, there can be a partnership. I'm going to say that again.
Right.
In the courtship, you're looking to see, it's called court, if there can be a partnership. You know, when you go to court, the judge is looking for the truth, looking for information, is looking for evidence, you understand, before making a decision. Well, a courtship is somewhat like that. You're looking for the truth in regards to who this person is and vice versa. And you're also looking for some type of proof or some type of evidence that what they say also is congruent with what it is that you see them do. This is very important that it's congruent. You know, you can make your mouth say anything, but, you know, but the action has to be congruent with, and you want to be in different settings with this person. So, you know, it's difficult enough even being in the same locale, to be quite honest with you, you know. But the advantage is that it can be in family settings. It could be in community settings. You know, you can have believers, you understand, that know that two people have an interest in be invited to dinner and all. But to see them in different settings is not only in terms of communication, but it's also in observation. the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that we should observe that prospective mate. I'm paraphrasing, but he said we should.
Yeah.
Observation is very important. Now, so when in terms of where there's a difference geographically, it makes it a lot more difficult, you know,
yeah.
because you won't be able to maybe say have lunch or have dinner together or what. There'll be a lot of conversation and communication. What we have established, and I can make sure that anybody that want the premarital, we constructed some years ago with the help of other believers, and Allah blessed me to put the finishing touches on it. It's called the premarital questionnaire. There's 9 different categories, and there's questions under each category. I found that this is one of the things that we really need help and assistance in terms of the communication. What is it that we need or should be talking about? What is it that we should be asking to get to know each other? So I like Quran. I'm not in opposition to it, but wherever we go, the platform, to see the objectivity, and some of them you have to be very, very careful because it's almost like they're trying to sell looks to mate you up and all of this. You listen to the questions that they ask you and all of this here. But those is real Islamic sites. They will be in accordance with our way of life from an Islamic perspective in that regard. And it won't be like they're trying to just sell the physical. I'm trying to match you up. Or you look good, and this person from their standards look good. Or y'all look good together. How many times do we hear that kind of stuff? Oh, but y'all look good together. You know, and what are you basing that on? I mean, just think about it. I say it in a jokingly way, but what are you basing that on? You see, so in courtship, you're trying to make the invisible visible. It don't take long for you to take one look, and of course, you know, Allah gives us instruction in the Quran in terms of the gaze and because of what it turns into in that regard, but it don't take it. They used to have a song years ago, just one look. That's all it took was, okay, so just one look, I can't sing, I can't hold a note, but you get my drift. It is just, you know, just one look. So it don't take long to see that if there is a mutual attraction that we call chemistry. I would advise those of you understand, to get one of my intellectual properties on selling the 7 C's, and chemistry is one of those. And oftentimes we think the chemistry is only about mutual attraction physically. But chemistry, you understand, if when we're talking about trying to find somebody that would be a mate for us, if you're a community member, you know, Quran, and you work in the community and yada, 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 and everything, well, perhaps you might want to look for somebody, you know, that's already doing that, you know. So now, you understand, you have something really in common. Well, you have, you know, some people that, you know, I ain't really want to do much in the community. I just stay at home and let you go to the masjid or to the Islamic center or what. And if that is something that you value, you know, in your relationship, then you need to see that. And I want to say to sisters, very, very important. I remember years ago doing a workshop, a seminar, and this was not only Muslim sisters there, but it was pretty much mostly all single women. The advice is don't write the script. Don't write the script. Because there are brothers that can and are actors. And if you write the script, you know, when you write the script for an actor, all they got to do is, like, oh, this is what the script is. Okay, I can play that role.
Yeah.
You see, but that's not really who I am.
I want to add to what you said too, when you were talking about this search that we're doing, and
yes.
Sister Jamila talked about we need to prepare more for marriage. One of the
mm-hmm.
things, and I was impressed with my daughter. She had said, "Okay, you told me I'm on a fact finding mission," and that's something we often forget is that when you're out here courting, you're just
mm-hmm.
getting facts. Because some of us think, oh, and I've heard brothers say this too, oh, I'll change that once we're together.
Oh,
well, no,
wow.
You're getting facts. You're getting facts. And so when you get those facts, what you do with it is you say to yourself, can I live with it or not? And if you can
Absolutely.
Live with it, then you accept it for what it is. If not, move on. Don't come in there thinking, I'm going to change that about them and change that about them and change that about them. No, get the fact. Are you on a fact-finding mission?
You know,
Fran,
you need to say that again about that, because that's a big misnomer, and I'm glad you brought it up on the Learning Lab, because oftentimes we can like this, this, and this, but that is the one thing that we don't like. And I think or feel like I can change it, or that person think and feel like they can change it. This is very important. I want to say to Sister Donna, hopefully we answer her question. I don't know if she's still there with us in regards to that. So, you know, a point of caution, you know, if you do proceed with caution and everything, and then Allah will guide you, you know, if it's not that type of – And if you don't think, and some people have said, and we're going to go back to what you're saying, Karan, but some people have said, I don't think I can find anybody in the locale where I live. Actually, it's somebody said, yep. Yeah. You know,
yeah,
but
I just opened her mic back up. So that's what she's commenting.
Oh, that was her commenting. Okay.
Oh,
she said, yep.
Yes,
okay. So, No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say many of the believers have been single for years, and I might
mm-hmm.
add decades. And it's sad and very unfortunate, but you just kind of think that if someone were your mate and they were in the vicinity in, I will say, from anywhere between 4 and 10 years, you would have found them. Which is one of the reasons why I was saying that there are, there's a third sister in our community, and I can't remember where she lives because they're planning on moving back there. But again, one is from Texarkana, Texas, and one is from Memphis, Tennessee, and so I can't say what the logistics are, but the marriages
mm-hmm.
look very beautiful. But the safety point that you all spoke of is, I'm glad you said that. That was really worth hearing, because
mm-hmm.
When you go on the internet, anybody can put a trap. So that is a good part. And also I might add, here in St. Louis, we're planning on in March of 2022 having
mm-hmm.
a family marriage conference.
Mm-hmm.
And inshallah, we'll see everybody.
Yeah, the courtship is called the Courtship Marriage and Family Conference. And I pray a lot that our beloved sister, Karan Shakir, can attend. Because I have some work for her. Look at she laughing. I pray that she comes to the Gateway City.
Mark knows there's nothing he can't ask me that I won't say yes to. So,
Alhamdulillah. That's my sister, Karan Shakir. But, you know, if she comes, I'm going to take advantage of that in terms of her being one of the presenters and being a part of the panel that I'm going to assemble. 2020 wiped it out, but inshallah that Allah will bless us next year in March to have this Courtship Marriage and Family Life Conference. This is the only one that I know of that was established in the country. We had our first one in 2019, so we'll be looking for the second one, and we're going to have a lot of surprises. We'll have some Nikaz, a 40-year. We have a 50-year watch that we didn't give away last year because we had to cancel out. And then we're going to have a very surprise guest that I think will bring a whole lot of people from across the country and honoring them. I don't want to give that away too soon here on IWDM Radio. So, Karan, thank you, Sister Donna. We appreciate you
yes,
calling
you.
And asking that question, because when you ask that question, Karan can attest, that's a question that's probably on a lot of people's mind in terms of how they look at the Internet, how valuable it could possibly be, but with precaution, because you have to remember a lot of them are in business, and, you know, it's, money can be a good servant, but it makes a bad master.
Well, I thank you all for having this, and I'm going to mute myself out right now and listen.
Okay,
all right, thank you.
All right.
And Mark, so, we've come to the end of our program.
Yes, we have. And, you know, you was making a point, Karan, and I hope that you, if you remember, I don't really remember, but you're making a point. But I wanted you to have some closing remarks, if you would, to leave with our radio listening audience and all before we go, and then I'll put the finishing touches on tonight's production.
Okay, well, of course, we are so grateful to all of our listeners and those who are online and those who come into the studio. We're very grateful to have you, and we're especially grateful to those who join us with your comments and your questions and being a part of the conversation. And to all of us, we cannot underrate what Allah has rated as one of his priorities and, as I say, the bedrock of community life. And we have to really engage ourselves to get to the place where we can find that, get to that sakina, the sukun, where we find that person where we can say, I'm ready to rest here. This is where I stop. This is where I find my tranquility. And you dwell together. You don't fight together. You don't journey through this thing in a struggle together. But you dwell together. And that's a whole different look for us. And we're looking for that. So, inshallah, all of us will be on that journey. And most importantly, when we do enter marriage, to understand and appreciate and be reminded that marriage is Allah's. It belongs to him and not to each other and not to you. It belongs to God, which makes us respond to marriage in a whole different way, inshallah. So those are my important takeaways for us today. And inshallah, we will see all of you, hear all of you, be with all of you next week, same time, same place, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on IWDM, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab.
Alhamdulillah. You know, that was beautiful. I love your closing remarks, Karan Shakir, and I concur with all of us. I said ditto to everything it is that you said. Want to just also thank our radio listening audience, those who tune in, who stay with us, even our little glitch, and stay with us and listen in, and particularly those that actually called in from the ATL and the STL in terms of question form. We want to thank you all for being participants in this learning lab. This is your learning lab. And also want to encourage you that if you listen in and you benefit, please help us to get this information out. But you have friends, Facebook friends, personal friends that you can call up and say, you know, you need to tune in to IWDM Radio, and all you got to do is just dial this number. And I think you would really, really benefit from just tuning in. You can get some great points in terms of courtship and marriage. And we want to design this not only for Muslims, but also for non-Muslims where they can call in and benefit. So we want to thank you for being with us tonight, as Quran has said. And we also want to remind you that here on IWDM Radio, tomorrow is Slotted Jummah Day. We ask that you do come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Mikhail Sayer out of Indianapolis, Indiana, longtime resident Imam at Nur Allah Islamic Center. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Also want to say that this weekend, he's also the very distinguished, esteemed host of Words Make People, and he always have very distinguished, esteemed guests on his show and topics that are pertinent to us as a community, as it will be the 4th of July, Independence Day for this country. So we ask that you do tune in to Words Make People with Imam Mikhail Sayer and his co-host. And that begins at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and 12 noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. And don't forget about the Sister Learning Lab each and every Wednesday for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. My co-host and co-facilitator, the first Wednesday of every month, will be Najwa Abdul Tawab. She will be joining me next Wednesday, and that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, followed by the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I'm happy to announce that we have a very distinguished, esteemed guest, my good sister and friend I haven't had on the roundtable for over a year, maybe say a year and a couple of few months, Professor Aisha Mustafa, the longtime editor of the Muslim Journal, has agreed to join me. She said, it'll be an honor, Brother Mark Shaheed, you call him that. I'm glad you didn't hit me. So you don't want to miss that. And she said, what is the topic? And I told her, there won't be a topic. It'll be a Q&A session, and you hear Professor Aisha Mustafa as I dialogue with her, because there's so many things that have transpired since the last time I interviewed her on this platform. So this is a new platform, so you don't want to miss her, as Quran can attest. She's a dynamic person and a jewel in our community. So that as Professor Aisha K. Mustafa will be my special guest on the MGM Roundtable next week. So please tune in. Get the word out to tune in. So until next time, Quran and I would like to say, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah.